Hey, good to be here. It's great. These birthdays coming up tomorrow. The twins, such a great fact to note. So many things about the two of them now. I can see it. You know, it took me a minute, but I can see it. Happy Father's Day. I want to say a thing about Father's Day. You know, for a lot of people, the thought of their father is pretty tough. Some folks, even in this room, had difficult fathers. Sometimes I've been a difficult father, but my sons were gracious to me. And as children, all of us in here have this in common. We are all children of somebody. Amen? Yeah, that's it. As children, and we can still honor our fathers just by us sometimes turning the ship around or breaking the cycle or just living a life that honors God. And so happy Father's Day. And for those who had difficult childhood, you know, today's another day to live for the glory of our Father. Amen. It's a good day. Well, we're in the middle of a series that's just sort of snuck up on me, the idea of the lesser known, the people who don't get a lot of ink in the Bible. We don't tell their stories that often. Most of them don't get a big week-long venue at music camp, you know. So, but they're mentioned, and they're part of the story. And honestly, isn't that who we are? We're just part of the story. If the Bible was written today, I don't know if any of us would make it into the Bible, except probably Bradley and Beth, because, you know, they're twins, and that's really interesting. So maybe they'd make it. But these other people play an important role. And so here's the rest of the title, and I'm thankful for Mike, who always helps me with things like this. I get a sort of an idea, and then he makes it a little better idea. Y'all know this is Mike's job here at the church. And so the idea of lessons learned from the lesser known. There's people that we don't know much about, but there's valuable lessons we can learn from them. And today, it's going to be, again, like it was 2 weeks ago, about Epaphras. Now, I really enjoyed listening to Jeremy last week. And, you know, I don't know, I'm a Texan, and Jeremy too, but I learned to say Balaam, but, you know, it's Balaam. That's what I learned one of the things I learned last week from Jeremy, it's Balaam, it's not Balaam, come on. Tex, learn how to pronounce things. But anyway, we're jumping back to, by the way, if you didn't hear all the lesson last week, you need to go back and read the story and go with the perspective, listen to your donkey. There you go with that. But Epaphras is this guy who in the church in Colossae that Paul wrote a book to, Colossians, he was one of the members there. And this is the thing that Paul wrote in the letter about him. He said, Epaphras, who is one of you, you know? So it'd be like we're talking about the people in this congregation. I could say Kevin Ball, you know, is a great guy. You know, he's one of you. Good old Kevin. Remember Kevin? He's great. That's what Paul's saying here. Epaphras, he's one of you. He's one of you. And he's a servant of Jesus, and he says hello. He's with me here, and I'm in prison, and he comes and brings me stuff. Brings me a Whataburger every once in a while. Brings me some milkshake, something like that, you know. And so he's with me, and he sends his greetings to you, say hello. And he's always, though, he's always wrestling in prayer for you. So last week, we talked about the idea of wrestling in prayer and how Epaphras wrestled in prayer. And the questions we asked were these. Ding. My button isn't buttoning. There you go. Did y'all do that, or did I do that?
I didn't.
Okay, well, we'll make the exchange here. It's my forward. It's not forwarded. So the questions we ask, who wrestles for you in prayer? And we all kind of said, well, our mom, you know, our moms do. And glad to have you here today, Rob, because, you know, Betty, she's wrestling in prayer for you, thinking, will he ever get it right? But he did with that haircut, dude. I'm telling you, I admire that. But who's wrestling in prayer for you? Is someone just wrestling? Just not say, I hope you have a good day. That's maybe not that what wrestling's about. But you really get into it. Like Jesus in the garden, he was wrestling in prayer with God. And other examples through the Bible, I'm praying for you. And I'm praying intensely and passionately for you. And then who do you wrestle for? Is there people that are on your prayer list that, you know, you go down the prayer list and you're kind of marking them off. Yep, them. But then you get to this one name and you just settle down and you begin to pray because this person needs a lot of prayer. And I'm hoping I'm on somebody's prayer list that when they get to my name, they stop for a minute. You know what I mean? And they pray a little extra. Because I could use that a little extra. But there's something else about Epaphras and the prayer that he was praying that I think we could learn. And again, man, I've read this book for a long, long time. I'm a VBS guy. We would have called it Bible Bowl, but we didn't think about that. We just called it VBS. But, I was on the front row trying to answer more questions than Sally. And that was difficult. But I usually could do it. But, you know, we know the Bible. We may not live the Bible, but, we know it. And so, but then I read this verse and I just missed this. Even though I've been teaching this verse about Epaphras wrestling in prayer for several years, but I didn't get this first part. And so here's the deal. In Colossians chapter 1, here's what it says. Verse 6, it says, just as it has been doing, you heard the gospel and you truly understood God's grace. This is amazing. It says, you heard the gospel and you truly understood God's grace and you learned it from Epaphras. Epaphras is the guy who taught the Colossian church. Well, Colossian people, there wasn't a church in Colossae. He taught them about God's grace. And it says, you came to truly understand it. That's amazing, grace. That you truly understand God's grace. So here's the setup. If Ephesus is the big town. Colossae is a smaller town. So, it's down the road, it's like Weatherford, okay? But we're Arlington, so this is big Arlington, small. It's even smaller than maybe that. But anyway, Paul is in Ephesus, and he's teaching. Well, some people come over, and they hear him preach. Philemon's one. Epaphras is one. Epaphras goes back to Colossae, and he teaches the people about Jesus, and they come to fully, it says, understand God's grace. Pause. Fully understand God's grace. What does that mean? Well, God's grace. They fully understand it. It means you're loved. God's grace means you're loved. God's grace means you're forgiven. God's grace means you're chosen. I'm asking you people in here, have you received God's grace? These things are true then about you. You've been restored. You've been reconciled. You've been empowered. So many things about God's grace. And it says they came to truly understand God's grace. Well, this prayer that starts, that we just read, that's part of Paul describing his prayer, his wrestling in prayer that he did for the Colossians. He started there in verse 3 of chapter 1. And this was part of it. Him telling about Epaphras and that they had learned grace from Epaphras. But that prayer started a little earlier than that. And at the beginning of that prayer, he says that their faith in Jesus and their love for others came from hope in heaven. Okay, that's pretty big deal. Hope specifically in heaven. Okay, what came from that? Well, their faith in Jesus. You know, maybe it would seem like their faith and their hope in heaven came because of their faith in Jesus, but it says other way around. They have this confident hope that they're going to go to heaven. Something better than this life is waiting for us. Do you believe that something better than this life is waiting for us? I do. And because I do, you know what? Boom, I'm pumped about Jesus. Because that's how I got this hope in this life. Because Jesus gave it to me. I have this faith in Jesus. It's growing because I have this hope in heaven. I'm not afraid of death. I'm a little nervous about the process, but what comes after, I'm pretty confident. You know what I'm saying? The process itself, I hope it's real quick. But it's going to happen. And that's not scary. The part that's scary is like, how is it going to happen? You know, I don't know, is that water cold when I'm jumping in the pool? But I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? I mean, we got some junk going on here that is not going to be going on in the next place. And I think that's good. Well, they had this hope in heaven. And not only that, because they had this hope in heaven, they had love for other people. They treated people better because they knew, hey, we're all going to heaven. You know, you messed me around today, but you know what? In a little bit, we're going to heaven. We'll sing next to each other in the choir at heaven. It's going to be all right. Their love for others grew because they had this hope in heaven. So this prayer goes down. That's how it kind of starts. And then it comes down to that part that we just read. Excuse me about my cough. Got some allergies going on. Anybody got allergies going on? Not in heaven. Yeah, no, not going to happen. So again, this slide's the same. Epaphras taught them, and they understood God's grace. Now, here I want to talk about some signs for not understanding God's grace. And some of these you've seen, maybe even in yourself. Paul wrote a whole book, Galatians, to people who had grace, but they didn't understand it. Okay, have you ever been this way? You've gotten something, but you really don't understand it that well. You've received it, but you really don't understand it. And so you're not getting the biggest benefit out of it because you don't really understand it, but you still got it. And this is them in Galatians. Whole book is because they're not understanding grace very well. Same with the book of Colossians. We're not getting into the weeds of Colossians, but they also didn't understand it very well. And so, but there's some signs. And one is this, it's pride. You may have received grace, but if you've got pride, you still got some pride issues. You don't fully understand grace if you've still wrestling with pride. And I am wrestling with pride. You know, my deal is I compare myself with other people. And I try to find somebody, usually, that I'm better than. Because I can look down on them, and that makes me feel better about me. Have you ever been this way? I want to say, yeah. Or lying, because some of you are lying about the pride thing. You know, I know some of you got that issue. But sometimes you believe that you're more important or you're more special than others. And if you fully understand grace, you don't think like that. You don't look at yourself as better than other people. You don't always have to be right. You know, the sign of a person who doesn't fully understand grace, they always got to be right. If you're the person who always got to be right, you don't get it. Doesn't mean you don't haven't received grace. You're just not experiencing the benefit of understanding. Another one is fear. This fear for me is I'm going to fail. I have a fear of failure. It happens to me almost on a daily basis. Small chores and big chores. I'm going to fail. And sometimes this happens because I've failed in the past. And you know, I remember past failures. I need to blot those out. If I understood grace, I wouldn't have this fear of failure. I know I'm going to fail, but I wouldn't fear failure. Does that make sense? You can know, you can be, I'm going to fail some things, but I don't have to have a fear of it if I understood grace. Because as a child of God, I don't need to fear failure. Another thing is distrust, that God's ways maybe not good enough for me, or I don't even want to take the time to understand God's way. Sometimes that's my problem. But I don't trust God's ways. I don't even know God's ways. If I was trusting in God's way, if I trusted God's way is the way to live, and I think many of us in here, if I said, do you think God's way is the right way to live? We'd say, yes, it is. Well, how often and how much time do you spend studying God's way? Maybe you don't even know what God's way is. Because you've mostly been hearing it from somebody like me. And maybe you better get in that word yourself, right? Read it yourself. Isn't it true, Steve? In the back, Barnett. We got lots of Steves. You've learned some things about the Bible you didn't know because you're reading all the way through, right? And you've been reading the Bible how long? Yeah. If we really believe God's way is the way, we're going to jump into that Word of God. And another thing is judgmental attitude, the attitude of gossip. Man, you know, your gossip comes from a judgmental attitude, or you're argumentative. Are you always wanting to get even, or, you know, you take offense easily. And sometimes I have been a person who's taken offense easily. Coaching football got me out of that because when they call you an idiot in the newspaper, you know, you get used to little things. Or maybe you're suspicious of other people's motives. Again, it's a judgmental attitude, and that it's because we don't understand grace. So here's what the rest of this verse and these verses in Colossians 1 are about. What did they pray? Paul says, for this day, ever since we heard about you, he's talking about Epaphras and Luke and a couple of others, buddies who are there in Rome. He says, we haven't stopped praying for you. And here's what we pray. We pray that you will have knowledge of his will through wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Man, this sentence alone is a sermon. Knowledge of his will. Don't you want to know on a daily basis, what does God want me to do? What does God want me to do? We have decisions by decision. Our day is made up of decisions. Different situations cause different decisions. Which way am I going to drive to work today? When someone says something offensive to me at work, how am I going to respond? Okay, what am I going to read today? What am I going to listen to on the radio? There's so many decisions we're making. We're making them over and over. Some of them are big, some of them are small. What's for lunch? How am I going to spend my time? How am I going to spend my money? Okay, what am I going to feed myself mentally? These are decisions we have to make, and here's what I think we ought to base these decisions on. This right here, the knowledge of his will. What does God want? What does God want? I want to know I want to have knowledge of God's will for my life, and it comes through wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So Paul and Epaphras, they're wrestling in prayer and then saying, oh God, these people in Colossae, they don't know you very well. They've just come to know you. And I'm praying that you will give them knowledge of what you want them to do today. Knowledge of your way of living, knowledge of your will. And I'm praying that you would give them wisdom and understanding, and that your Holy Spirit that lives in them would give them this wisdom and understanding. That's wrestling, baby. Okay? That's not saying, man, I hope Steve has a good day. And maybe he'll have good lunch. Hope his air conditioner in his car works well. You know what we pray a lot? We're praying for comfort. I don't see Jesus praying any comfort prayers. Man, I hope Steve Lutz speaks. Man, I hope his seat in his car is comfortable when he's driving to work today. I hope that. I don't know that that's what wrestling in prayer doesn't mean that. You know, Bob's got a little allergies going on. I hope he gets better. Well, that's okay. It's not wrong to pray for those things. But that's not the extent of our prayer. That maybe there's going to be more. Recently, the leaders this year of the House on Beekman summer camp called and asked me, could I pray for them? And I said, sure. And I asked them, what do you want me to pray for? And they had a list of things. But as I began to pray, God put it on me to pray this for them. Short but sweet. I pray for them that they would have passion for what is important to God. Man, I want to pray that for, you know, all of you guys too. That tomorrow, Lucas back there, beating on the drums, he would have passion for what's important to God. Because, you know, in a lot of things that Lucas is interested in don't mean squat to God. Right? Same, I know that because it's the same with me. See? There's a lot of stuff I'm interested in, like tonight. When I go home, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look up the box score of the Yankees game. I do it every day. You know what? How much that matters to God? Zip. I don't care if the Yankees win or lose. Why am I wasting all my time on that? I don't want to be passionate for stuff that God doesn't care about. You know, people get so mad when their sports teams lose. Or they get depressed. And God's thinking, why? Why are you so passionate about sports and you're not passionate about the things that are important to me? This is God saying this stuff. So my prayer is that I would be passionate about the things that are important to God. I want to wrestle in prayer for you. And I got a prayer list. You got pictures. A lot of you got your picture in there. Not yours, Rob. It's not in our directory. But I go down that list and I pray for you. And this is my new prayer for you. This is my prayer for you, that you would be passionate about things that are important to God and leave the rest alone. I got a little caught up on that. Sorry. But there's more. So the rest of this prayer keeps going. He's asking for that knowledge, and he says, so that you can live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to Him. Here's the way I do that. I say, I want to make Jesus smile today. I want to do something that makes Jesus smile today. And I'm going to kind of pick on somebody I don't even know. So this is dangerous, but I think she's going to go with me on this. And that's Sky. You know? So Sky walked in today, and she told me, I asked her name, and she's new, and her name is Sky. And so I thought, you know, one of the things that makes people feel good is when somebody can remember their name, right? Because sometimes somebody will tell me their name, and I can't even remember to 30 seconds later. What was that person's name? So I remember her name, and you know, when I started to remember her name, you know, Sky smiled when I remembered her name, Sky. Nod with me, Sky. That's all you got to do. Just say, yeah, you're good. If you get real bold, you can do thumbs up. Okay? I think Jesus smiled. Just sort of little things of kindness. But even bigger things. Sometimes that I'm going to live a life forgiving others. I think make Jesus smile. I'm going to live a life of generosity. And so it says, so I'm going to live a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to Him. I want to make Jesus smile today. I want to have an attitude and behaviors and thoughts that are pleasing to Him. Okay? And then this prayer continues. This is Paul and Epaphras and Luke. They're praying. And so we're praying that they'll be strengthened by His power so that you will have patience and endurance. Okay, think about this prayer. Man, this is what I want to be. Some of you guys who are wrestling in prayer for Bob, pray this. Because to do this make Jesus smile thing, I need some extra strength, and especially in patience and endurance. Because sometimes I get tired of being nice, or not even nice, kind. Because kindness sometimes makes me have to go out of my way. And I was kind 30 minutes ago. And do I need to be kind again? You know, because sometimes when I'm kind, nobody says thank you. And that bothers me. So do I need to keep on being? So I need strength and patience and endurance. This, I need that. So I want you to pray for that for me. I need that. I need help to do what the Spirit has shown me what to do. Now I need help doing it. And then it says, the last part of this prayer is this, because, whoops. He qualified us. He redeemed us and he forgave us. He rescued us from darkness. All this happened on the cross. This was all the songs we sang that Jeanette talked about the lyrics today already. These are the songs we sang. He qualified us by giving us his son. So it all comes back to grace. This prayer all comes back to God's grace. And that we would understand it and therefore live it better. That we would have joy from understanding grace. I want to talk about this for just a second. Some struggle with understanding grace. Well, okay, some. Raise your hand if sometimes you struggle with that. And the problem with that is that we miss the benefits. We miss the benefits that we could have right now of understanding grace. But even if we don't understand it completely, we still possess it as a gift. Does that make sense? I've received grace. I might not understand it fully, but I've still received it. Now, grace can be discarded, thrown away. You can throw it away. You can reject grace. Can. But lack of understanding doesn't disqualify you. Okay, think about that. Let's say that lack of understanding, that the fact that you don't understand it completely doesn't disqualify you. Because it says right up here in this verse before this, he qualified us by redeeming us and forgiving us. He's done that. That's a done deal. We're qualified. That we don't understand it completely, that doesn't disqualify us. My grandmother grew up in the Church of Christ. She passed away in 1988. And she was about that age herself. And so she grew up in a pretty legalistic kind of church where really your hope was kind of based not on God's grace, but your hope was based on how well you could check the box, right? And she was great. She was a loving, kind, generous person. If anyone was going to make it based on checking the boxes, my grandmother, my mom's mom, she was going to make it. But you know what? She was still worried. And as she ended her life, she died in my parents' house, in my mom's arms, congestive heart failure, in her late 80s. And I lived in Amarillo at the time, and they were in Abilene, but I was down visiting, and we had several talks, and one of the things that bothered my grandmother, she was not sure at this late age, she was not sure if she had been good enough. Can y'all relate to that? People you know, or maybe even yourself sometimes. She was not sure she had been good enough, but she knew she was about to die. Her heart was failing, and the day, it was a Saturday morning, she passed. And as she died, there was more fear because she didn't understand grace. But you know what? She still had received it. So my grandmother passed from this life into the next one. And guess what happened? She got it. Right? And this is what I want to say in this slide. Grace understood from the other side, going back to that heaven, the hope of heaven makes them have faith in Jesus and love for others. The hope in heaven, because heaven's going to happen for us. And when we pass into that other side, we're going to understand grace. And it's going to be way better than what we can even imagine. We're going to get it. And just because my grandmother didn't get it, doesn't mean she didn't get it, you know? Grace. And right, boom, then she sings alto. And you know, right there in the angel choir, baby, my grandmother, front row. She sings, and I'm not sure that's what it'll be like, but it's going to be so good, so amazing to experience and fully understand God's grace. So, this is us today, wrestling in prayer. The prayer challenge that I want to pray this prayer for you so that we all come to experience the full understanding of grace. So, a lot of the ways we pray for each other is singing these songs that we've sung even today. So, we're going to sing one more today, and I'll have one more thought after that. But we're going to sing a song about grace, and it's good, like all of the songs today have been. Let this be our next step to being better understand what grace is.